This rip was brought to you by good friends at CoinKite. CoinKite's here. They build the best Bitcoin hardware in the space. I'm rubbing my block clock right now. Have you ever rubbed your block clock, Logan?
No, I'm not weird.
Yeah, it doesn't feel great. It's not a rubbing product. It's a looking product. You look at it, it gives you great stats on the Bitcoin network. You set it up. It's a beautiful, aesthetically pleasing piece of hardware. Keeps you updated on what's going on in Bitcoin. That's just one thing. That's just like the fun things that CoinKite makes. They're very fun. They're very cool. They also make the best security hardware in the Bitcoin space. Their wallets, the MK4 and the Q1, both come with two secure elements. Both are NFC enabled. Both allow you to create private public key pairs offline in an air gap fashion. So your private keys never touch the internet. You can add entropy to your private key with dice rolls as well with both products. A bit different. MK4 looks like a little calculator. The Q1 is a full keyboard device with a bigger screen, QR scanning capabilities, and it has a battery pack as well. Again, the most secure hardware on the market, allows you to create your private public keys in an air gap fashion. It's the best way to do it. Adding entropy to it as well. Eliminate single points of failure. Cold card helps you do that with their hardware by keeping your stuff offline. They also have the Sats card, the Tap Signer, the Sats chip, a bunch of things. Go check it out at CoinKite.com. Try RHR. Just try it. Tell me what happens. Nobody's told us, Logan. Have you tried it?
I have not. Have you tried it?
I have not. Maybe it's on me. Maybe I should go try it. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Unchained. We talk about them in this episode. They're doing it the right way. They're a financial institution of the future, building their whole company off of Bitcoin's native multi-sig properties. They have their Vault product, which is a 2 or 3 multi-sig in which you hold two keys. Unchained holds one. Since you have those two keys, you control your Bitcoin. You can move it whenever you see fit. If you're ever in a pinch and need Unchained to be the second in the 2 or 3 multi-sig quorum, the second signature, they're there for you. They have the trading desk where if you buy Bitcoin through their trading desk, it goes straight to that vault that you set up. So there's no pulling out keys, wallets, addresses. You buy Bitcoin, it goes straight to your multi-sig cold storage vault. Single points of failure are eliminated in that model. Unchained never holds the Bitcoin. You don't buy it on Unchained, it sits on exchange. No, you buy it, goes straight to your multi-sig cold storage. Whether you're an individual, high net worth individual, a family office, an institution, a sovereign wealth fund looking to buy Bitcoin, hit up Unchained's trading desk. Go to unchained.com/trading to check it out and enjoy this rip of Rabbit Hole Recap. Okay.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Button has been hit, and we are live on a Friday morning. Good morning, Carlos. I know you're out there. We've got a morning rip for you a day late. But we're here now.
You're welcome, Carlos. Don't get used to it.
Maybe that's why the price of Bitcoin dumped. They saw that RHR didn't go live on a Thursday afternoon, and people freaked out and just started dumping their Bitcoin.
It was the opposite. The dump was coordinated ahead of time. And it was supposed to be after RHR, and we foiled their plans.
Yeah, so they dumped, and now that they don't have the luxury of waiting a week for us to comment on it, they get it 12 hours later.
Exactly. Got them.
It's all done, freaks. That's a 5-minute 10% dump. It's been a good ride. It's been fun, but it's over. Hope you guys enjoyed it.
What's over, Bitcoin?
Yeah. Mentally prepare for the gulags.
I thought you were calling for the end of dumping, which historically results in more dumping.
No. It's the end of Bitcoin.
It is funny how Bitcoin tends to have like these situations where volatility disappears, and we just go flat for a while, and then it breaks heavily one way or the other at some point, like just fucking coiled spring, and everyone loses their shit.
Yeah, it got really boring there. Like, I've been keeping a pretty detailed journal over the last couple months, and yesterday I was going back and reading some notes, and I think I've said this before, but I usually write the date, and then the price of Bitcoin. I've just been doing that since like 2015. I was like thumbing through my journal yesterday, going back, reading through some notes to stoke some ideas, and it's been in that 28 to 30 range for literally 2 months.
Very tight range. Dude, like last week we ended the episode where I was like, why do we even do the podcast anymore? Like, we've said everything we need to say. And I woke up this morning, I was like, oh, I'm excited for the therapy session with the freaks.
Yeah. And well, that's great. I mean,
invigorating.
Really that big of a, like, we're, all right, let's go to Clark's dashboard. So we,
dude, Bitcoin's at like $2,000 right now.
It's, where are we? All right, pull up Clark's dashboard. We're currently sitting at. Oh, wow. This is bad, guys. It's over. We're at $26,085. 26,000 is hanging on by a thread. Nobody fart. It could send the price of Bitcoin tumbling below 26,000. Okay. One cuck buck's go. You know what? This number's going up. Sats per cuck buck, 3,834. Great. Sats are on sale right now, freaks. The market cap also hanging on by a thread at $500 billion at 507.5 billion cuck bucks. We're at block height 803,769. Nice. We are currently 615 blocks away from the next difficulty retarget. And this looks like, as of right now, it'll actually be very interesting over the next 5 days to see how this progresses. 4 or 5 days. Right now, it's estimated to be an upwards adjustment of 6.8%. Blocks have been coming in at 9 minutes and 22 seconds on average since the last adjustment. And so with the price falling by 10%, let's check hash price on insights.brains.com. Give me a second here. Yeah, hash price has collapsed all the way to below 6.5 cents at 6.4 cents per day. It was at 7.1. So this will be a very interesting difficulty adjustment, especially as we approach it over the next 4 days with hash price falling below 6.5 cents. It probably knocked a lot of miners under the profitability level. And so it'll be interesting to see if some turn off. On top of that, big theme the last couple of weeks is the extreme heat in Texas, with wind and solar not really producing as much as really increased demand for demand response, which miners in Texas are heavily involved with. So pay attention over the next 5 days to what happens with this difficulty adjustment. 6.9% estimated right now. Let's see what it actually is on August 22nd. So next Tuesday. There are currently 94,865 transactions in Clark's mempool. If we go over to mempool.space, there are 348,881 or 120 blocks worth of transactions in his mempool. Samurai Whirlpool unspent capacity is at 8,559.3 Bitcoin. That's 223.5 million cuck bucks in unspent value. That is the state of the network. Price is dumped. Matt, what caused the dump? If it wasn't RHR not showing up on a Thursday, what was it?
Dude, I got so many texts.
Did you? I didn't get any.
I was surprised. I think, I mean, part of the reason why I didn't, I specifically got two texts that were, I was freaking out this morning and I went onto Twitter to make sure that you told me to stay humble, stack sats, and I didn't see it.
And there was no RHR.
That's why we named the RHR Good Morning Stay Humble Stack Sats. I got a lot more texts than I expected. I mean, look, everyone always wants to know why Bitcoin's price moves a different way. Obviously, technically speaking, there's more sellers than buyers. And it's usually really hard to tell. And it's usually a fool's game to try and pinpoint, you know, what it was. I really don't think it's the ETF stuff. But who the fuck knows? I think the real ETF to pay attention to is the BlackRock ETF. And that might be delayed. It might not be, but I think it'll eventually get approved if you are ETF watching. And it'll probably be the first one because this world is very corrupt and BlackRock has a lot of influence and power. But I do wonder, if I was going to pinpoint anything, it seemed pretty well timed with the Evergrande bankruptcy, which we've been tracking for a while. So they like announced that bankruptcy announcement, which is what like the one of the largest real estate developers in the world and property owners in the world based in China. And I think they're in like $400 billion in the hole or something like that. So really big, large numbers. And obviously Bitcoin is a global asset. So potentially people in China that are holding or anyone exposed to Evergrande might be trying to get liquid in Bitcoin and sell Bitcoin. Alternatively, it could be associated with that and just people starting to come to terms with a macro recession. You know, I kind of have March 2020 vibes where Bitcoin felt things first.
Yep.
And recovered first. If you remember, Bitcoin fell down to like $3,000. All the Bitcoin haters like came out of the woodwork, said we were fucking idiots. And then global markets went into a shit show after us. And they had all the circuit breakers because they're centralized markets and they were blocking it. And, you know, they were blocking all trading on different equities and shit. But Bitcoin fell first and Bitcoin recovered first. And then we rallied to $69,000. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like it feels kind of connected to the Evergrande. If I was going to point to anything, whether it's directly or whether it's, you know, quote unquote, investor sentiment around the world coming to terms with, you know, what officials are saying, economic officials are saying is just complete bullshit.
Yeah, I would agree. And maybe it's not Evergrande specifically, but that definitely sent a signal. And so like I'm diving in. So they Evergrande, to give more context, they filed for Chapter 15 bankruptcy protection in New York City yesterday. Obviously it's different than Chapter 11. I'm not exactly sure how, if anybody in the comments.
It's because it's a foreign company.
It's a foreign company. Okay, that makes more sense. They have $330 billion in liabilities that they can't make good on, which is not a good sign. But yeah, to your point, like going back to 2020 and yesterday, I sent this tweet out last night. Like it feels like we're going to get a nice end of summer Friday credit surprise because obviously Bitcoin is the most liquid asset in the world, tradable 24/7, 365. And this happened after market area hours last night, excuse me. And so if Evergrande was like the first domino to fall and people assume that is going to be a cascading effect throughout credit markets more broadly, and people need dollars to service their liabilities to make sure they don't get margin called or something like that, it makes sense they would sell Bitcoin to cover that. Again, this is just one theory. Who knows exactly what happened and who sold? I don't think it was SpaceX. I think that story is way overblown. But
it's interesting that the S&P is mostly flat today.
Yeah.
The SpaceX thing is like bullshit engagement, whatever. Yeah. SpaceX is a private company. I like was trying to find hard numbers on exactly how much they sold and when they sold it, and they just don't exist. So.
Yeah.
Engagement bait. Completely unrelated.
And all the engagement bait is getting community notes from X. So it seems like Elon's trying to be like, huh, that's actually not what happened. I mean, if you actually read the filings, they said that they wrote down the value of their Bitcoin holdings and sold some. And people took that $327 million number and just ran with it. They sold all their Bitcoin. Got to be better.
Anyway, Zap.stream is working. I don't know if these apps are working. Can you see that?
Nothing has changed. Stay humble and stack sets.
Yeah.
Zap.stream is working. If you go to rhr.tv/stream. But yeah, zaps aren't showing, but we are receiving them. So thank you for your support.
Yeah. But no, it does feel, I mean, obviously this week people are beginning to price in higher inflation for longer. And this has been materializing in credit yields. So you have the 10-year U.S. Treasury above 4.3% or around 4.3%, which is essentially signaling that bondholders think to make a return on that to outpace inflation, it's going to have to be higher than the inflation rate. And if that rate's going up, they expect inflation to be elevated for longer. The Japanese government bond 10-year is exploding as well, I believe around between 0.6 and 0.7%, which is well above the 50 bips that they were trying to hold it at earlier this year. Evergrande going down here in the U.S. I don't know if we talked about it last week, but that was a big headline that was going around. I think has a lot of signal to it is that WeWork's corporate bonds were trading at 90% yield, which essentially is a signal that investors don't believe that they're going to be able to make enough money to pay those back, and that WeWork's a zombie company. So here in the U.S., I would have to imagine that WeWork isn't an isolated instance. There's probably a number of other zombie companies that are really feeling the pain with these interest rate hikes and the mistakes that they made when interest rates were by the zero bound or beginning to be made bare with a higher rate regime. And so, yeah, like the credit markets, whether it's sovereign government debt or corporate debt, seem to be going a bit spastic as the Fed keeps rates higher for longer.
Yeah, I mean, I think it takes a little while for this shit to actually unfold, right?
Yeah.
Things move slowly and there's a lot of trouble hidden beneath the surface.
Yeah, and that was the another interesting development in the banking sector. Peter St. Ange posted a daily video about this last week, but he basically highlighted that a lot of the weaker regional banks, to make it look like they actually have deposits, they're borrowing deposits from stronger banks at really high rates to bolster their balance sheets for their financials. And that's a ticking time bomb in and of itself, especially as the Fed funds rate is high and may even go higher. Like if they don't get deposits, actual deposits instead of deposits that they borrowed, they're pretty screwed. And what makes that even worse is that banks have really constrained their lending. So they don't have any revenue. That's how they get most of the revenue. It's giving out loans and getting the revenue of the insurance payments on those loans, and nobody's taking them out. So pretty precarious situation out there. There's too much debt, not enough dollars, as Parker Lewis would say. That's probably why people are selling their Bitcoin, to get dollars to service their debt. That's, again, thesis, theory, but in the spectrum and universe of theories out there, I think I'd put the highest probability on that one. What are you laughing at? You need a haircut?
Yeah, someone said I need a haircut. I'm the guy on the left. Noted. Someone in the comments said, who's the guy on the left? He needs a haircut. Yeah, I think we live in like our own little bubble, right? And most people are in denial.
Well, maybe they're not even in denial. They're just complacent. They believe like, oh, we've always got backstop. Like things are going to be fine.
There is a temptation to try and trade this. But,
stay humble,
stay humble and stack sets.
Logan, can you pull up,
do you remember, can we just like, one of the coolest parts about RHR is that it's like, it's a time capsule. Just every week for 5 years, we've just been verbally shitposting.
This might be our 5th year anniversary, literally this week.
It's coming up if it's not. Pretty crazy. And I haven't done this, and I keep saying I'm going to, right? But I'm really curious, like January, February, March of 2020, it seemed incredibly obvious that shit was about to hit the fan.
Yeah, before it even hit the fan, you came over, brought me masks, gave me a big hug, and said, be safe out there. And nobody was even wondering yet.
Yeah, they were telling us to eat in Chinatown at that point. And then I just really didn't do much. I just stay humble. I just stayed humble and stacked sats. But like, it was pretty crazy how that all unfolded, right? But like the stock market went crazy, you know, Bitcoin went down. And I feel like, is it a similar situation where we're just like slow walking? We're just like shit posting into a massive recession, potentially a depression. And everyone's just in denial, soft landing, you know, CNBC has green numbers on it. We're good.
Yeah. And I'm going to put a chart in the show notes here on Slack. Pull it up. I mean, this is indicative. That's not what I want you to pull up. What I just posted in it. Yeah. Pull up the VIX. Yeah. And so this is indicative of a complacent market. So the VIX, the volatility index that measures forward-looking volatility, or what people trading the VIX expect forward-looking volatility to be. And it's reaching a low point in this cycle right now. So signals that there's definitely a lot of complacency in the broader financial markets, and traders really aren't pricing these things in.
Stop distracting. We can't have people distracting Matt in the chat. We're talking about a serious VIX index here.
He goes, I can't even listen to Haircut Guy because I'm distracted by the comments. Sorry. Did you see the Bitcoin VIX?
Yeah. So that, going back to the point, like go to Dylan LeClaire's profile, Logan, and find his Bitcoin VIX.
That's a crazy chart. One.
Yeah. That's like, and that would validate. I mean, that won't validate, but if we get volatility in traditional financial markets in the next week, it'll validate the thesis that Bitcoin's like the leading indicator, the alarm system, the last true alarm system that exists.
It's a true free market. It's the closest thing to like a true free market we've had in a long, long time.
Yeah. And so this is the Bitcoin implied volatility index, BVIV. It exploded yesterday from around 40 to above 55, hit 57 at one point. So that's a 20-30% increase within 5 minutes, still, because that candle, it literally dropped from like 29 to 26 in like 10 minutes.
That's a crazy fucking chart.
Now pull back up the VIX chart.
Yeah, that is insane.
So you go from that, and like, I would just imagine if you go to beginning of 2020 on this VIX chart, you see that large volatility spike. Bitcoin volatility chart could be a leading indicator for something like that to materialize in the VIX chart moving forward.
Stay humble and stack sats, freaks.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that was a great little trading segment we had here on here on RHR. I hope you liked our charts and our lines.
Other people's charts, other people's lines, but just sharing them here. I feel alive, though. I felt good. It was really boring. Like, it was funny going back to like my journal. Like, I write the price down, and like the last week, it's literally been in like a $300 range, like 29.4, 29.7, 29.5. It was bound to happen. What do we got next on the list here?
Stay humble, stack sats.
SBF sent to jail as judge revokes bail over witness tampering VPN use. This guy really can't help himself. So he's going to go to jail, it sounds like. Maybe I have to eat crow.
They sent him to Rikers.
Thank God. Could you imagine that dude in Rikers?
He's in jail right now.
I know. Do you think he's surviving well?
Probably not.
You think he's got protection in there, or do you think he's somebody's bitch already?
Dude, I would not want to be in fucking Rikers.
Right.
But they waited. They waited till after RHR last week to announce this.
Yes. So he was free on a $250 million bail, but he was using a VPN to watch a football game and contacting a witness over Signal. So put him in the prison. I wonder how they found the Signal messages. Were they able to subpoena his phone or something like that?
Like New York Times, like he leaked something to New York Times too. I don't know. I'm sure they were doing plenty of surveillance on him.
Yeah. Is there any witness tampering covered Bankman-Fried sharing documents used in the New York Times article reporting on Google Docs diary entries written by Caroline Ellison. So yeah, it was the New York Times. Apparently he was coordinating with them over Signal to share those.
Well, like Caroline was one of his like alkalites at Almeida.
His girlfriend at one point, I believe.
And she turned on him, right? Is the official story, at least, right? That she did a plea deal with your boy Gary.
Yeah. Ethan Tuttle. I bet Marty has a shit haircut, too. Jesus Christ.
Everyone's got a fucking opinion, man.
Yeah, it looks like shit right now. It's because I haven't combed my hair today.
That's how you know you're in a bear market, when it's not Bitcoiners fighting over protocol proposals that'll never happen. It's arguing over haircuts or some shit like that.
What do you think's never going to happen?
Drive change is never going to fucking happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either.
Fucking time.
It's I think the debate gets way more credence than is necessary. I mean, the whole argument that like we should be bringing shitcoin to
board in bear markets.
Yeah. I don't think drive chains are necessary. I like Paul. I just haven't been convinced that drive chains are necessary. Next on the list, it's been pretty big on the interwebs this week, the last couple of weeks. Argentina's leading presidential candidate vows to shut down central bank if elected. So Javier Milei is really taking the world by storm, considered a far-right libertarian politician. He's got a lot of energy. I really hope he doesn't get Epstein'd before the elections in October.
I mean, I don't know Argentinian politics, but I'm sure there's a better metaphor for opposition candidates getting killed.
Tom's convinced this guy's a psyop because he's got WEF connections.
Yeah, I saw the WEF connections. Could be.
Yeah.
Who the fuck knows anymore? I don't.
It's all a psyop.
Did you see? We played Oliver Anthony on Rabbit Hole Recap, and then he's number one on iTunes.
Yeah,
we did it.
Yeah, yeah. People.
What about the
people think that's
What about like the TikTok videos? I mean, I saw you share one. Like the TikTok videos that have gone viral afterwards of the same theme, right? Of people having a hard time, of grocery stores, of grocery costs going up. I mean, we know those are real. we know people are feeling real pain out there. We've been talking about this for a while. I don't know. It's just a brave new world. I think people don't really I don't think we've seen anything yet. Like, it's going to get crazy out there. Did you see I'm like all over the place, morning rips. Did you see the TikTok video that was like anti getting married and having a family? And like someone, like proved, or like at least soft proved, that it was a Chinese made video with the Chinese woman. Switched with the woman,
engagement ring.
Yeah, and she like sticks the engagement ring in, and then she has second thoughts and sees like all the issues with getting married and having children and having a family or whatever.
Yeah, massive psyop. It was a Chinese woman. And it was funny. I saw one of the comments on one of the tweets that shared the video. It was like, does she not realize she's going to have to do all those things anyway? Like do dishes and clean her house. Like, it's...
Yeah, but there's so much like, I don't know. Like with these centralized social media platforms, and then the increasing ease of deepfakes and influencer culture and all this shit, like there's just so much shit you can do.
Agreed. But going back, like I do think the inflation stuff is real, particularly in Canada. If you talk to any Canadians, it is getting absurd. And the one I shared in the newsletter was Americans, and to back it up with data.
One that was Canada and one that was Americans, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But to back it up with data, pull up the tweet I just posted in the Slack, Logan, because it is pretty indicative of what's going on. Zoom in a little bit. So this is just a chart that highlights the excess savings that Americans have. And so the tweet says, consumers are heading for trouble. Only $200 billion is left in excess savings, which is keeping households afloat. 2 months ago, this number was at $500 billion. At the current rate, savings will be depleted by September 2023. So here's some data to back up the stress that is being expressed in those TikTok videos. People are burning through their savings. Prices are obviously not at 3.2% inflation year on year. People are feeling stressed.
I mean, that's more savings than I expected to see on that chart. I don't really understand exactly how to read it, but I just assume most people do not have much savings, period. I mean,
$200 billion for 300 million people, that's what, like...
The good psyops are based... Good psyops are based in a kernel of truth. You can have inflation can be hurting people. People can be in very bad situations. That can be true. And then also can be true is some entity wants it to be the topic of conversation right now. And is making it so. We live in like this post-truth era. Like, I don't even know.
It's real.
Who even fucking knows? Maybe the idea of psyops is a psyop. Maybe we're psyops. I don't fucking know.
All I know. I agree. Online, we live in a post-truth world, but you can, to try to filter the signal from the noise, I think you have to sort of cross-reference what you're seeing online with what you see in the real world anecdotally. And I do think people are feeling stressed. Like here, the island that I'm on right now, the rental occupancy rate for the summer is only 80%. And it's usually 100% with many people like waiting in the wake in case somebody drops out to scoop up a place like immediately if it comes on market. So that's pretty insane. Like we're usually packed to the gills on this island. It's only 80% capacity this summer. So people are feeling stress. And this is a town where multiple families will go in on a house for a week or two, and that's not even happening. So you split up the costs between multiple families, typically.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, that is, we've been tracking that for a long time. Yeah. Not saying that's not the case. I'm just saying... I don't know. The only social media I have is Twitter and Noster, and I haven't been using Twitter much lately. I like can't even imagine what's going on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok natively. But it's just this really create, like, the phenomenon I've seen online from my little perspective of just like Twitter and Noster is that like this idea of like this 24-hour news cycle that like everyone gave mainstream media shit for to drive clicks has like compressed down to like a 2-hour media cycle. And there are certain things that like punch through like all the centralized social media walls. Like the videos we're talking about, like are TikTok trending videos that can then get posted over to Twitter. Then they get reposted by a bunch of people. Then they get posted over to Noster or whatever. And I just think like the tools, we've just never been in this situation before. And we're entering a potential global recession or depression or whatever you want to call it. We're entering a very contentious election cycle in America. We're entering contentious election cycles across the world. There's a war going on in Ukraine and Russia. Like there's going to be like, it's going to get fucking insane out there in terms of, you know, what is going viral and what's not going viral and what is true and what is fake and what's in between. And just, I don't know, be aware. Yeah.
Be aware. Touch more grass. You know, that's a saying that's been beaten to death last year or two, but it's true. I haven't even been using Noster that much or Twitter for that matter. Just felt good. Staying busy with the boys, busy with work. You got to tune out.
It's really nice using Twitter less. I've sent like less than 10 tweets this month, and they've all been Noster shills pretty much.
Yeah. 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 People are feeling the stress. And it's only going to get crazier. Like, I think exactly what we laid out earlier in the year, where you have an eerily similar trajectory to 2008, where you had tremors in the spring, a relatively quiet summer, and then fireworks in the fall, is lining up pretty well. And that's the crazy thing with Fed rates right now. In debt markets, it could be anything. It's Evergrande, it's like the private Chinese debt. Could be sovereign debt, which Japan running into pretty significant problems when they lose control of their yield curve. U.S., I mean, our treasury bonds are screaming right now. And then also in the U.S., like the corporate debt markets could really begin to exacerbate things. And then we have student debt coming back next month that people are going to have to begin paying back. And so there's pressure at many different points of the economic sphere right now.
Did they wipe student debt?
They tried to, and then the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that.
Oh, I thought it was, oh, okay.
Yeah, Supreme Court shut that down. All right, moving on. Open Sats, 9 new grants. This is your wheelhouse. I'll let you take it.
Yeah, I mean, we're very excited about this. We announced 8 new project grants across Bitcoin and Noster, BDK, LNBits, Watch Descriptor, Stratum V2 testing and benchmarking tool, Fediment modules and resources, Amber Noster event signer, Noster UI UX development, Noster use case exploration and education. Information on all those projects are at our website, opensats.org. We also announced our second LTS developer grant, which is our long-term support for Bitcoin core contributors and other very top-tier contributors that focus their time on these non-monetized FOSS projects. The idea around the long-term support idea is like, look, if we want top-tier developer talent that might be going to a Google or an Apple or a Facebook, a lot of those contributors do come and work on Bitcoin and contribute their time and do so at great personal sacrifice. And the grant process in general, they tend to make less money than if they were at one of these large tech companies. But not only do they make less money, they have pretty much no financial security, right? So they're going like 6 months, a year at a time, and then they have to keep renewing their grants. And a lot of times they have to go to these KYC exchanges and they have to go and see if they'll get paid again. So this gives them some financial security, which we're very excited about. The most recent one is Josie Baker, incredibly long time, respected Bitcoin Core contributor. He's also going to be doing more work on Libitcoin. And he does a lot of review work, which is really helpful. But this brings our total grants at OpenSats over the last 2 months to 41 grants. Gigi has made this organization so much more efficient, and I'm incredibly grateful and proud that we brought him on board. And we're just getting started. We have a lot more coming. So if you are an open source contributor, consider applying at opensats.org/apply. We have a 9-person board. All grants go in front of that 9-person board. We operate on a simple majority for approval. And we are 501c3. So if you want to support the cause, you can do so at a tax deduction if you are American. Once again, opensats.org. Or you can donate anonymously with Bitcoin if you want and not get that tax deduction. And we are 100% pass-through. We do not take any cut of donations. All donations received go to open source contributors. So this was it was a big week for OpenSats, and we're proud to get that money to sorely needed places.
Yeah, and OpenSats wasn't the only one slinging out grants this week. Spiral renewed the grant of Mogashni Naidu for the Bitcoin design community to work on UX research and the toolkit she built to continue growing that ecosystem. So shout out to Mogashni. In the world of venture, BitGo secured $100 million Series C funding at a $1.75 billion valuation. Pretty big numbers there. So gave up a little bit more than 5% of their company.
One thing I would say is these press releases don't necessarily go out when the money is raised. So we don't really know when they raised it. Could have been 6 months ago. It could have been a year ago. But yeah, be aware. It seemed notable. Put it on the list. I don't really have much commentary.
I mean, BitGo's one of the most important companies in the space, whether you agree with Mike Belshi and what he did around the fork wars of 2017 or not. They secure a shit ton of Bitcoin. Mike Belshi invented multisig. It does seem like they're becoming more Bitcoin focused as well over time.
Yeah, I mean, they're a major custodian on the back end for a lot of these companies. But they also have multisig products, so they can do collaborative custody. $2 billion valuation is nothing to sneeze at.
No, it is not. Congrats to BitGo. Mike Belshi shared, not only are we seeing growing demand for regulated custody solutions in the U.S., but we're also seeing demand on a global scale. We're very pleased to announce our $100 million Series C for the purpose of meeting this growing need to provide institutions, brands, coin foundations, and others with secure and seamless participation in the digital asset ecosystem. BitGo.
He's not doing himself any favors personally calling out shitcoin foundations as a potential customer base.
Yes. We're going to secure block one's 300,000 Bitcoin. good July mining updates from Marathon, CleanSpark, Iris, Hive, Bitfarms, Core Scientific, and more. CleanSpark and Marathon Digital turned on a bunch of hash rate in July. So the month of July saw the price of Bitcoin fall by 4%, and the mining difficulty increased by 1.4%. And if the pace continues, it may increase by almost another 10%. Marathon became the world's largest publicly listed Bitcoin self-miner, reaching 17.7 exahash a second, which is pretty crazy. They actually at 18.8 exahash. They had a 1.1 exahash. And they've increased their hash rate by 169% year over year, or year to date, excuse me, overtaking CoreSci. Pay attention to CoreSci. We talked about them last week with the deal they made with Bitmain and other creditors as they're waiting through their bankruptcy proceedings. I believe that bankruptcy should be behind them next month. They'll be coming out and probably expanding a bunch of hash rate as well. Wait, go back to that Bitcoin sold part. Yeah, so Wolf, Iron, ARBK, Riot. Bitcoin as a percentage of production. What does that mean? What does that chart mean?
It means like if they're producing 10 Bitcoin.
Bitcoin sold. Oh, Bitcoin sold as percentage. 6. Yeah.
4 Bitcoin or whatever.
Yeah, so four companies are selling almost all the Bitcoin they mine. It's an interesting strategy.
I mean, it's not a strategy. It's fucking desperation, right? Their costs are in dollars and they fucking, it's a bear market.
Yeah. What do you think? Over under 500 exahash by the halving.
What are we at?
According to mempool.space, we are at 358.6.
That's probably going to be close. That's a good line. What are you? Are you over or under?
And I guess it depends if these S21s get delivered to market between now and then. They have like 15 joules a terahash in efficiency, which is insane. They're hydro-cooled units. So I'm referencing Bitmain announced their newest generation miner, the X21. It's going to be a hydro-cooled unit. I believe it's producing like 220 terahash a second, and the efficiency is 15 joules a terahash, which is an insane jump, maybe 15 and a half joules a terahash. I think top of the line right now is 21. So that's it's a 30% increase in efficiency, which is insane.
Yeah, I mean, you're basically calling for, if you think it's going to be over 500 exahash, there's almost a 50% increase in hash network-wide in a year.
Less than a year, yeah. And we should note that hash rate, that stat I just threw out, 358, is measured on a very short time frame.
To calculate hash rate, we basically take blocks found and difficulty to calculate it. So it's
If like there's miners in Texas in demand response over the last 24 hours, it's probably understating what the actual hash rate. If you go to insights.brains.com, the hash rate over the last 30 days is 384.82 exahash. So almost 30 exahash above that.
Hey, one thing, those guys that are planning a halving party in El Salvador and already picked dates and stuff, like I'm pretty sure halving's going to happen like 2 weeks before that party.
It's funny you say that. I joined the Meme Factory guys on their show last night. I think they understand the risk they're taking. Yellow's betting that's going to happen during the party.
They're all going to be hanging out 2 weeks after because they're buying hotel tickets and shit. They're going to be hanging out 2 weeks after the halving. I don't know. Just don't bet again. They're essentially betting against massive, hash rate entering the network. Between now and then.
Yeah, Ethan Tuttle and Zap.stream, he's quoting this QBT patent. Apparently they're claiming that they can create like an insane efficiency boost.
I think that's like superconductor shit.
I don't know what it is, but I saw somebody tweeting about it. Apparently they're not using the hash from the nonce of the previous block, which may be producing that efficiency gain, which actually wouldn't work in practicality, but I don't know. I haven't dove too deep into that.
Anyway, I'll look into it if hash rate jumps up like 30%.
Yeah. Yeah, and LK99, the superconductor shit, is a complete bust, apparently, as Jebby's saying in the chat.
What? Interesting how, yeah, I don't know. That was pretty obvious.
Freaks, I mean, I think we deserve some credit for being a bit...
Shout out to us.
Give a shout out to me.
Marty's in the Ford summer bear market and wants credit every episode now.
We're going to protect you guys from the psyops. LK99 was a massive psyop.
I mean, I don't think that was necessarily a psyop. I just think, yeah, I don't know. It's just bullshit.
Yeah.
Things are just bullshit and not psyops. A psyop needs to be like centrally coordinated for an ulterior goal, right?
The ulterior goal was just distract. Hey, aliens didn't work that well. Send out the superconductor. We need to distract them. Indict Trump.
Did we find aliens?
Apparently that woman on the plane in Dallas did. Apparently she's a government psyop too now.
She's like a marketing, like a top tier marketing director or some shit.
Oh, you haven't seen the video where they went to like her website and they followed the IP address and it went back to like an army building in Virginia.
What was the woman about?
She's a psyop.
The video. I know the still though with her two, like the flight support fingers or whatever.
Yeah.
Conductor fingers.
Yeah. Are the psyops to distract from the Biden crime family? Maybe. Maybe.
Or is that another psyop?
I don't know. I mean, it's pretty obvious.
The fake name Biden shit was pretty bad. Robert F. Peters or whatever was his name?
Robert Peters. There was like seven of them. Something Henderson, Peter Henderson. The big guy.
Maybe the aliens are real and everything's just distracting us from the aliens.
Maybe. Maybe. The aliens are real. No, the aliens are a psyop because there's no way the aliens come. They fall into like a government, on government land and only converse with government officials. Well, did you see that? Did you see the alien psyop of this week?
But what I said this a couple of weeks ago, Marty, like I'm pretty sure we wouldn't, like aliens would have to like walk on my property for me to believe it.
Yeah. Well, did
is
you
that
see
put me in a vulnerable situation? Like, is there,
did you see the alien psyop this week?
No. What, where are they this week?
The there's video floating around. Look and see if you can find it. But there, people are trying to say that it was aliens that took down that MH-730 flight or whatever it was, 370.
That lines up.
Yeah.
The missing plane. We never found
The Malaysian Airlines plane.
What did? Is there evidence?
There's been videos floating around. I'm pretty sure they're fake. Of like three saucers circling the plane. And then one taking it out.
We have a video of it.
Logan, can you find it? Are you looking for it?
Where do I even look for this? It's not going to take me there.
All right. Let me, Twitter. You search flight.
Who released the video?
I don't know. Malaysian Airlines flight. That's what I heard. Malaysian.
Well, anyway, I'm pretty sure at some point aliens are going to invade us and no one's going to believe it. Oh, yeah. This is Hammersaw in the comments saying the aliens are selling the Bitcoin. That's the issue. We've come full circle.
Here, I'll put it. I found it. God, my shout out to me and my Twitter search skills being so fucking good.
Did you accidentally search for porn again?
No. Here it is.
To the freaks listening on audio, we are watching this alien video right now. Damn. That seems pretty conclusive.
Yeah. The aliens did the Malaysian Airlines flight.
There's literally there. It is a yeah. How do you explain it to the podcast?
There's a very poor video
of a plane.
Apparently U.S. reconnaissance, and there's three flying saucers circling the plane now, and eventually one will blow into it.
Does it show it disappear too?
Yeah, it's gone. It's gone. The aliens took it to another dimension.
It's in the clouds.
Sorry, IRS. The aliens took my sats. That's a good one. Backseat studio.
It's like a point and click explosion. Did you see that?
Yeah. Sucked into another multiverse.
Not even good Photoshop.
Psyops are everywhere, freaks. Be aware.
Touch grass. Hats.
Yeah. KYC mining pools, you noted about this over Noster. The top two pools, Foundry and what's number two? F2 pool? Ampool. KYC pools have more than 50% of network hash rate.
What's interesting is we've talked about Foundry requiring KYC for a while. I somehow missed that Ampool switched to KYC. But what's interesting is, you know, Ampool is the largest Chinese mining pool and Foundry is the largest American mining pool. So they're each presumably like doxing their mining customers to their respective government. But they might not be sharing that data between both. I mean, you kind of have to assume that it's stored insecurely and can leak and can get stolen, but not probably not actively sharing it because China-U.S. relations.
Yeah.
But this is why we talk about pirate miners. This is why we talk about smaller scale miners, off-grid mining. Because you truly want mining competition and mining distribution and mining decentralization. Otherwise, you start to pose some transaction censorship. What was that? Oh, Marty's muted.
It's the noon bell. The noon bell just went off.
But
the kids know it's lunchtime here on the island.
And KYC risk is, in general, I mean, if you have a list of people, then you have a list of people you could potentially pressure.
Definitely a threat. But luckily for us, the ability to switch hash rate between pools or to simply take it off a pool and sell off mine can happen within minutes. But this is... not a good trend. I mean, we talk about KYC, AML all the time. And I was actually disappointed in RFK's response to my question about that. He sort of said, we need to take care of money laundering. So, like, we need these things in place. And it's literally 99% ineffective. It doesn't stop money laundering. Just more puts more people in harm's way.
It's all about control.
Yeah.
But anyway, right, we'll track that number because I mean that is the common argument. And it's fortunate that we still have pool operators that are not complying with that. But at least from my anecdotal conversations with miners that are using Foundry, they like welcome it. They want to know who their co-pool participants are. And in our threat models, we shouldn't really count on pretty much any hash that's currently in Foundry leaving Foundry for those policies. I think they're pretty content with them.
Yeah. And let's get to the first principles of this issue. So like what you just said there, individual miners want to know who they're commingling hash rate with at the pool level. so that they can then go back to the government and say, hey, we're not operating with quote unquote money launderers. These people have been vetted.
Yep.
But again, going back to the point we just made, 99% of KYC AML laws are ineffective. And so it's really just a formality at this point to appease
yep.
a power structure that isn't really doing the work to actually catch these money launderers at the end of the day. And as we all know, the government is the largest money launderer and terrorist organization on the planet, the U.S. government specifically. Can't audit the Pentagon, can't audit the defense industry. Who knows where the hundreds of billions of dollars that we've been sending over to Ukraine have actually gone. Actually, Max Blumenthal from the Gray Zone did an audit of that and found that it was going towards very corrupt initiatives. So that literally laundered the government on taking taxpayer money and laundering it into entities, businesses, NGOs that are mishandling those funds, not really using them for the war efforts in Ukraine. I think that's the reality we live in. And bringing this to Bitcoin mining, they're going to try and paint miners who do not point their hash at KYC pools as money launderers, but these are people who just want privacy in the digital age, privacy from governments who have used personal identifiable information to coerce people to do things or to intimidate people. Like, you can't blame an individual actor for wanting some privacy. Like, privacy is a human right, and the justification for these KYC AML laws is completely bunk. Like, it doesn't even make sense. They're not stopping money laundering. So from a first principles perspective, these laws are nothing more than a formality that try to coerce people to act a certain way and to intimidate people to get in line. They're not really there to stop crime from happening.
100%. But from a practical point of view, what we'd like to see is a large portion of miners remain at least somewhat private. So track that number.
Yeah.
And to be clear, it's not a hard number. You know, everyone always says 51%, but it's not a hard number.
No. You don't know until it happens. You won't know that threshold until it actually happens. Best you can do is try to be as distributed as possible before anybody tries to do it. We're about to get the software updates. Before we do that, we'll get to the top four boost from Rabbit Hole Recap 265.
Before we get to the boost, just real quick. So, like, in practice, like, a transaction censorship attack, like, what does that look like? Let's say 50% of the hash decides not to mine certain transactions. Let's say they get compelled by the government not to mine certain transactions. They don't include those transactions in their block. The remaining hash can then still include those transactions in a block. And collect any transaction fees associated with them. So presumably in a soft censorship type of situation where you have a portion of the hash rate censoring a transaction, but not everybody, if you are the person sending that on-chain transaction, you can increase your fee to encourage the remaining miners to mine your transaction. And it might take a little bit longer for a confirm, but you'll still get confirmed. That is probably, if a mining pool tries to do much more than that, they could severely risk the golden goose that is Bitcoin for them. Bitcoin is their business. So I don't think we should, like, there are a bunch of other theoretical attacks. I think that is the most likely attack, that kind of like soft transaction censorship attack. And then also, by the way, I was like thinking the other day, do you remember there was all this like fear about this idea that if you coin join transactions, like, you'll never be able to sell them at a regulated exchange again. People still kind of say it sometimes. this is just a little bit separate, but it's also about transaction censorship. So it's why I bring it up. Now that you can deposit using Lightning at certain regulated exchanges, I think that comment goes completely out the window, because if you take a CoinJoin UTXO and put it in a Lightning wallet and then make the Lightning deposit, that recipient can't tell which, in most situations, that recipient cannot tell what UTXOs funded that transaction. So it pretty much throws that out the window for what it's worth.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Bitcoin finds a way.
Yeah.
It's the, it's only going to get harder once Fedi mints become more popular. You can use Lightning gateways to hop from mints and back to on-chain. Bullish on Bitcoin privacy. Shout out to Dan Gould and the PayJoin DevKit team. I saw Francis Paulette tweeting that they're working on spinning up a serverless PayJoin implementation at Bull Bitcoin and then implementing that into CipherNode, which is their open source architecture for Bitcoin exchanges. That will be, if that gets implemented in a number of exchanges, I think that's game over if you do automatic pay joins in and out of exchanges. We'll see though. Luckily we have people like Francis who are bold enough to implement it into a regulated exchange. Shout out to Bull Bitcoin. Shout out to Francis. And shout out to you freaks for your boost from Rabbit Hole Recap 265. World's richest rapper pleads guilty to Bitfinex hat. This was a big boost week, Matt. Freaks really came out this week. Top four boost are all over 69,000 sats, which is great to see.
Appreciate you, Freaks.
At Sav BTC, 80,000 sats. A modest size but high signal citadel has been established in Savannah, Georgia. All Freaks in the area are passing through welcome. First meet up on Monday morning, August 21st. So that's this upcoming Monday, 3 days. Informal, coffee, BTC, shoot the shit. Should be easy to find. Marty, give us a ticky. I mean, no address, nothing. Just Savannah, Georgia, find it. Coffee on Monday morning.
No website, nothing. Doesn't nothing. Say where.
No. Gotta be careful with those. I almost stopped the show.
Taka, I will say that Savannah, Georgia is a dope fucking city. Love that town.
Beautiful. Beautiful town. Yeah, so go, I guess, walking through the streets of Savannah Monday morning. Hopefully you won't run into the modest size high signal citadel that's been erected there.
By the way, Freaks, on the note of dedication, Logan is producing this show with a fever.
Yes,
Logan.
He's having fever dreams on the other side of.
Shout out to me, dude. I'll
allow you to shout yourself out. It's well worth it. It's Logan's flu game today.
He doesn't need your permission.
At Svenal. 77,777 sats, sevens across the board, palindrome boost, education, and RHR is an important part of the curriculum. Thank you, Svenal. A lot of these boosts were trying to pump you up because you were very
I was pretty down at the end of
last. Very dejected last week.
Who knew? All I needed was a fucking price dump.
At dude. 69,420 sats. Nice. Odell, what advice would you give to someone with an overinflated ego and not enough Bitcoin?
Stay humble and stack sats.
Took you a second. At Cum Rocket, 69,420 sats. Stay humble, stack Western Union stablecoin.
Horrible advice. Really bad advice.
That's all we got. Well, that's the top four boosts. Those weren't the only boosts we got. We got a lot of boosts last week for RIP 265. Really appreciate you guys supporting the show, whether you're zapping on zap.stream right now or streaming us sats over podcasting 2.0 or boosting us as these four freaks did last week. We really appreciate it. Value for value model. Really picking up steam. I'm seeing it across RHR, TFTC, zap.stream. It's really beautiful to see Noster getting zaps. The value for value model is gaining steam. With that in mind, do you think we can change? What's the word I'm looking for? You need to change user behavior. You think we can change user behavior, like outside of the Bitcoin circle, to engage in value for value, whether it be for podcasts, written content, video streaming?
Bullish.
Same.
Yeah, I think people want to support their favorite shows and their favorite artists. The friction's just really high, right? So it's all about just reducing the friction.
Yeah. We're working on it. Back to the list.
I will say like Noster, like Primal maybe a month and a half ago added the on the web client added one click zaps if you had the Albi extension installed. So like I literally just click the lightning button and send sats. Or if I long hold, I have like five different sat amounts, you know, like round amounts that I can click and then it'll send that amount. Just zero friction, very little friction, right? I'm just clicking and it just sends. And it's fucking addicting. Like once you get, I love sending sats to people. It's just fucking great. And, but even me who's been in Bitcoin for a while, like it needed to, that friction needed to get pushed down so that it was just like, you know, point and click.
Yeah. Yeah, we're getting there. And I think too, particularly for like online, like digital property, like websites, blogs, whatever it may be. If you go to like Zero Hedge, Barstool, they're just slowed down massively by the ads that are injected into those websites. And if you can communicate to your audience, like, hey, we're going to take away the ads, speed up the site, download the Lightning Wallet browser extension and pay us like a 5 cents a day or something like that. Could be better user experience. Do have to change user behavior.
We had someone at the park this week. We had our weekly open house, and he was at the Lightning Summit, right? And he met older gentleman. He met the Wavelake guys at the Lightning Summit. Hadn't really been exposed to Lightning much. Didn't know Wavelake existed. Went home. This is Nashville, right? His daughter is obviously a up and coming artist. So he told her about Wavelake. She added her songs to Wavelake. When was the Lightning Summit? The Lightning Summit was like a month ago. Added her songs to Wavelake. And she's already made more money than Spotify over like the last 2 years. So obviously it's still early days, and also that wasn't that much money. But specifically in the music world, most musicians get such a shit hand dealt to them in the current status quo that it's like, it's not much of a lift to offer them something better. And I think it offers them substantially better in the podcasting world where people have gotten very comfortable with the advertising model. That pretty much Rogan proved out. There's going to be a little bit more resistance there, and it's going to take a little bit more time, I think, adoption wise. But on the music side, there is just no, they just get dealt such a shitty hand in the current status quo that I feel like it's just such a massive improvement, and they have no risk in moving that way. And then I think also in like the newsletters situation, maybe podcasting is actually going to be on the slower side. We'll see. But I think value for value is the future across the board.
Yeah. And then on like streaming, like super chats are pretty popular. It could be a way easier transition for people that are used to that user experience. A natural transition, if you will. I'm bullish. I've, again, I mean, last week's top four boost all over 69,000 is pretty bullish. Back to the list. We do have to be relatively tight today. This is some afternoon meetings we have. On to software updates. Trezor Suite version 23.8.1 has been released. This includes CoinJoin for the Model 1, so the original Trezor. So you can now use that with the Model 1, the Wasabi integration that they have. Geyser as a progressive web app has been released. So you can now install Geyser on your phone as a progressive web app. The PWA trend continues to increase within Bitcoin. Mash, they also released a progressive web app wallet too on the heels of Mutiny doing the same thing. So it seems like PWA is becoming more popular in the Bitcoin building ecosystem. Phoenix Android version 2.0.0 has officially been released, so splicing, dual funding, and more has been added with what I imagine is a major release, since it's version 2.0.0. It is a major release that reworks most of the application. An automated migration is available for existing users, so that's important. The beta was a success, so a big thank you to the hundreds of testers. Public rollout has begun. It will be spread over several weeks. iOS, soon TM. So looks like that three-week deadline they set for iOS after they originally added splicing to the beta is a bit delayed. This is good to see. The Liquid Federation has finally open-sourced its functionary code.
This is a big one.
It's been live for like 7 years, finally getting the open source code.
Well, they open sourced a lot of the stack, but they didn't open source the stuff that was running on the Federation, the functionary code, as the title says, which meant that's why there's only been one Liquid network. Like, you can't create other Liquid networks. Maybe this opens the door to that. We'll see. I don't know. It's so funny. I love Bitcoin. I get shit on sometimes for talking positive about Liquid, and then I get shit on sometimes for talking negative about Liquid. Not really though. One of my theories for why Liquid has never really found a product market fit, users haven't really flocked to it, is just the lack of innovation on the Federation side. In terms of, when I say innovation, I mean like just competing federations and other people trying it and mixing things up and whatnot. It's just been this one single federation. So we'll see if this changes anything, but who knows? Maybe no one else will actually run a competing federation anyway. And it doesn't.
Yeah. So Blockstream said in the blog post, this fulfills a longstanding goal to release the code after the Dynamic Federation's update. DynaFed enables dynamic addition and removal of functionaries from Liquid, allowing the number of functionaries to be changed more elegantly and securely without needing a fork. If one functionary is unavailable, the network remains unaffected by seamlessly substituting one functionary for another to sign blocks. So we'll see if people start spinning up other Liquid networks. Moving on, Stacker News adds Anon accounts and just-in-time funding. This is pretty big. If you don't want your LNURL or NPUB associated with your account, you can now create an Anon account, which may produce more open and free conversation. Reading through, nothing else. Clams version 1.8.2 has been released. It's got UI improvements. Lightning Terminal version 0.10.5 alpha has been released. Bitcoin Tribe version 2.2.1 has been released, and they added border wallets. This is good to see. You can now use border wallets to create and restore your tribe.
Really cool for it. I saw the video that Border wallets released on Noster. Really clean. I haven't tried it, but really clean interface and UI.
Yeah. This is a big update from Zeus. Version 0.8.0 mainnet alpha has been open to community supporters. And if you go to Evan's Twitter profile, he's been sharing responses from people who have done this. A lot of people are dropping their hosted nodes and just using what Zeus has with Olympus.
It was really cool. I don't know. So, I mean, we talked about the Zeus announcement. He made it at the Lightning Summit. Basically, you can use, now you can use Zeus without your own node. And you can use it side by side with the same wallet that is connected to your own node. What was really cool is, so I'm one of the community supporters for Zeus. What is their website? Is it zeusln.app/about? Anyone can become a community supporter. And I don't know if this was standard for how he did it for everyone, but like I just got like an automated Noster DM as a supporter, and like I didn't have to do like any additional communication with him. As much as I love talking to Evan, I didn't have to do any additional communication with him. It was just like I woke up in the morning and I just had my like private beta link in my Noster DMs, which I thought was cool.
Damn, I got to get to God tier with you. I'm going to have to fucking donate 1 million sats. God damn it. Shout out to Zeus, my favorite wallet, my everyday Lightning wallet. It works. If you guys are streaming sats to TFTC, I check my Zeus wallet every day to see that. Straight to my node. Libwally Core version 0.9.1 has been released. Another Elements project, wallet project. So if you're using that, be aware. NodeEyes version 23.07 has been released. BDK version 0.28.2 has been released. BTC Pay Server version 1.11.2 has been released with some bug fixes. Addresses several bugs in the point of sale app introduced in the major release. And they thank everybody for supporting. So if you're using their point of sale app and you've noticed the bugs, they fixed them. Loom version 1.2.0 beta has been released with a new UI and onboarding process. So this is an Noster client. Cross platform.
Yes.
Noster desktop client available on macOS, Windows.
Yeah, we've switched to Noster updates.
So is this a web or an application? It's not a web app? It's a client, yeah.
I believe it's an app. I have not used it. I just blindly added it to our release notes because No Bullshit Bitcoin is tracking it.
All right, moving on. Njump, static Noster gateway.
Yeah, this looks dope.
It's been released. Typical use of Njump is to share a resource outside the Noster world where the Noster schema is not yet active. There are several reasons to prefer Njump to share a Noster resource versus other web clients. Let's see them. W3.do, free URL shortener powered by Noster. That's pretty cool.
I don't really understand where Noster plays into the web shortener, but...
Down
maybe there. That's coming later.
To create links with users NIP 05 and user assigned slug, they support to handle Noster slugs like nevent and pub note and profile.
Something I mean, right about... now it's just like a typical URL shortener. You don't need to have a Noster account or anything. You just go to w3.do and just put in your URL, and it gives you a smaller one. You know.
Oh. So it's a Noster static gateway. It displays notes and other stuff from inside Noster as HTML with previews. So I guess they're shortening the notes instead of like N and a long string of numbers and letters. It looks like a hyperlink, a readable hyperlink. That's it for software updates.
Nice. Big week.
Big week. What should we wrap on? Any questions in the comments?
Stay on Bone Stack Sats, freaks.
Opening ourselves up to...
They have no questions besides when we're getting haircuts.
Pablo is saying the shortener doesn't do anything with Noster. It's kind of BS in his opinion.
Okay, good, cool. I wasn't... shout out to me.
Yeah. Logan, cool. You need to audibly verify your MPUB for the chat in zap.stream. So we'll allow you to do that right now. Read your MPUB, please.
Ten PK. Is this a shortened thing? 10 PK colon WSTQR5MD.
What was that? Did you? Is that your MPUB?
Is this like the shortened thing?
It should start with MPUB.
Did you just put it in the shortener?
I skipped the MPUB part.
Okay.
MPUB yep. TPK colon WSTQR5MD.
Confirmed.
All right. That seems short.
Yeah, no, it's probably... where are you reading it from? Domus?
Amethyst.
Yeah, he might just put like, is there ellipses in between? He probably just leaves out a bunch of them. Anyway, that should be enough confirmation for you guys. I don't even know if I have you on Noster. I don't know. It's been a good rip.
It's been a great rip. Let's keep it tight. Friday morning.
Yeah, Friday morning. Stay humble, stack sats. Don't believe everything you see on the internet. Nothing has really changed. I appreciate you all.
Yeah, to answer your question, Backseat Studios, we are aliens, and this is all PSYOP. So take that with a grain of salt, and enjoy your day. Peace and love, freaks. Take care.